Hi, this is Ken McCarthy, and today I'm on the phone with two very interesting guests. We're going to be talking about what might well be the most important topic in internet marketing today, which is how to deal with Google. Google, there's an old expression that I'm going to adapt for this purpose, Google giveth and Google taketh away. And Google's clearly, you know, an 800-pound gorilla in our marketplace, and many people have done very well utilizing the various services and systems that Google makes available. But it's not all sweetness and light all the time. And if I see one mistake being repeated over and over, it's people finding themselves in a situation where they're becoming, you know, 90 to 100% dependent on Google. And even our colleague Perry Marshall, who's best known as being the Google AdWords expert, he's actually expert in a lot of other things, but that's clearly one of his expertises. He's always counseling his clients, diversify, diversify, diversify. So we have two great guests on this very subject from London. Mike Mindell, co-founder of WordTracker. And Mike, believe it, Mike spends a lot of time thinking about Google and what Google's doing and how Google does it. And then from the great state of Maryland, we have Greg Davis. Greg, welcome.
Thanks, Ken. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And Greg is another person that has invested countless hours, quality hours, in thinking about Google and how to manage the relationship with Google. So let's talk about the thing that came up most recently, which was a new version of the Google Slap, in which lots and lots of accounts suddenly disappeared or were deactivated, including people being banned for life. Am I right in saying they were banned for life?
That's right, banned for life. I think it was middle of December we heard the sound of several thousand AdWord accounts being slapped, and not just the accounts being slapped, but the account owners being told that they were banned for life with no recourse and no way for them to come back and ask Google to take another look at what they're doing or to even say sorry. They just got banned for life, and Google said, we don't want your business anymore.
And this could actually happen to somebody, let's say, that did something years ago when rules maybe were not as clear-cut, or standards were not as clear-cut.
I reckon, though I'm not absolutely sure about this, but I reckon from all the stuff I've been reading that they are targeting affiliate marketers, especially at the moment, and especially people targeting those rebill-type offers like the Acai Berry and the Colon Cleanse offers, and anyone doing kind of direct pay-per-click marketing from a pay-per-click ad directly to an offer or a CPA offer or anything like that, where it's direct or just straight kind of single pre-sale pages or review pages, I think these are the guys they're going after right now.
And it may be, you know, pretty straightforward, but what's their motivation? What are they trying to accomplish by doing this? What do you think they're trying to accomplish?
I could just speak for what I'm seeing. I don't know for absolute sure, but they keep talking about wanting a good user experience. And I think if you think back to the AdSense days or the AdSense arbitrage days where people were trying to send paid traffic to ugly-looking landing pages with AdSense plastered all over them, and that was filling up all the listings and giving people a poor user experience, that was one of the early slaps. And I think what's happened nowadays is the same thing's happened, but this time it's with review pages and people saying, oh, this product's great, that product's great, but they're really just promoting the product that's making them the most money. And I think what's happening is that people are clicking on all these ads and complaining to Google and saying, you know, they're all going to the same place or they don't believe the reviews. And I think it culminated when we saw all these Google Cash type offers. I don't mean like Google Cash, the Chris Carpenter book. I'll separate that from what I'm saying. But I mean products that call themselves, you know, Google Money Tree and Google Cash, that were trying to basically get people to sign up and then charge them, you know, $50 or $60 a month with no way for them to cancel. And so the FTC cracked down on this, and I think they cracked down pretty hard on Google with this, and in turn Google is cracking the whip and getting rid of anyone associated with these kind of offers. And I think it's so widespread that I think even if you had a Google Cash offer from several years ago and you did like had one landing page or just did a direct link straight to the offer, and they saw that in your account, I think they could look at that and say, you're not quite the type of advertiser that we want, and so we're banning you and your account for life. And I think that's what I've seen and that's what I've heard.
Gotcha. And they're probably particularly sensitive about their own brand name being used for offers that they... So there's definitely some rationality behind it. Banning for life seems a little harsh. It's kind of like being excommunicated or sent off to the gulag, you know. Maybe Google's achieved that level of dominance where they're starting to think in those terms, which brings us to our main topic, which is, you know, should we allow ourselves to wake up one day in a position where one company, right or wrong, reasonable or unreasonable, can just turn us off? And before we started recording, Mike pointed something out to me which I wasn't entirely aware of. Let's say Google/YouTube doesn't like the way you're using YouTube videos. In fact, we discovered some language recently where actually Google seems to have a problem with people making money from YouTube videos. And I recommend everybody read the Terms of Service. It's in Section 4.
Let me read out the actual line that they put. It's under inappropriate content, commercial use on YouTube. And I think it's answer 71011, where they say, we don't want to discourage you from putting the occasional YouTube video in your blog to comment on it or show your readers a video that you like, even if you have general purpose ads somewhere on your blog. We will, however, enforce our terms of use against, say, a website that does nothing more than aggregate a bunch of embedded YouTube videos and intentionally tries to generate ad revenue from them.
Yep. And then also in the terms of service itself, they say, put up a video about your business. That's not considered a prohibited commercial use. But if your primary purpose is to make money in such a way, and I think they talk about competing with YouTube.
And again,
I recommend that everybody read that. But that was kind of a surprise. And there's a technical thing that they can do, which I guess I'd been unconsciously aware of, but Mike brought it to my consciousness, which is if Google YouTube just doesn't like how you're using their videos, they can just hit a switch and no longer serve those videos to your pages. So now we could talk about the fine points of what they're saying and what they mean and what's a bad use and what's a good use, but we'll leave that to another day. But the point I'm trying to make is they can flip a switch and shut off your AdSense and AdWords account. They can shut off your YouTube. I imagine they could turn off your Gmail. They could just take you out. So logic says we don't want to be in a position where somebody can just take us out. So what we're going to talk about on this call is alternatives to Google. And I'd like to start with Greg, because this is a passion of his, and he's quite an expert in it. Greg buys a lot of Google traffic, but he buys a lot of other kinds of traffic. And what was the ratio that you were telling me the other day of all the traffic that's available for purchase? What percentage is from Google and what percentage is from the rest of the Internet?
He says it's between 15% and 30%. So basically there's still, 70% of the traffic out there available that has nothing to do with Google.
Excellent. So not only can you buy traffic from other sources, you can obviously use other email platforms, you can use other video sharing platforms, and you can also use other pay-per-click or AdSense-like systems. And actually, I'm going to ask, and Mike or Greg, let's say, you don't want to play Google's game and you want to monetize your traffic with something other than AdSense. What are the alternatives if you want to operate on that level, just on the selling click level, to AdSense?
I'll speak to that. I mean, I'm not really an expert, in that type of, I guess, monetization. I mean, I do know that Yahoo has a publisher network. I'm not sure if it's totally rolled out yet. I know that MSN has a publisher network as well, that's similar to AdSense. Then there are some other ones that you can serve ads on, like AdBright. So those are a couple, you know, alternative to AdSense that I'm aware of.
The ones I've heard of, Yahoo MSN or Yahoo Bing, I'd say would be the obvious second choices, both search and, as Greg says, publisher network. Does Bing have a publisher network, Greg?
MSN had just started one like a couple of months ago, so I'm assuming it's all become Bing now.
It's all going to become Bing now, yeah. Okay, so there's, you can do the search side and also on the content side of Yahoo. I know another one that people are moving to is Pulse 360. I'm hearing a lot of good things about that. I'm hearing a lot of people looking at CPV traffic, which is like pay-per-view traffic. And I know a lot of people are moving towards media buys, you know, where you're buying banner ads on websites in bulk to get, you know, high traffic volume. So there are alternatives to Google.
Great. And speaking of those services, Greg, you've had some extensive hands-on experience with all of them. In fact, I think the first time I heard about Pulse 360 was from you last summer in Maryland.
I kind of have, I guess, progression. I guess if I was gonna recommend to, you know, to somebody that was gonna buy traffic, I mean, I guess kind of a relative beginner or newbie, or at least somebody that was kind of intermediate level. I mean, I would definitely start with Yahoo. They definitely don't have as much traffic as Google, but I found that they have higher quality traffic. It generally converts better, you know, at a higher level. There is a lot of traffic there, too. I've been able to spend close to $10,000 a day on Yahoo for various campaigns. So there is serious traffic there. Sometimes you have to work a little harder at it than with Google.
What are some of the issues dealing with Yahoo traffic? What makes it harder? One of the reasons Google's been so successful is they've done a great job of offering, you know, self-service to advertisers. You just log on, do a few things, and you're up and running. I know one of the problems with GoTo, Overture, Yahoo was that, boy, they managed to make it a lot harder than it needed to be. And I've heard that that's smoothed out quite a bit. But what are some of the things that you're likely to stumble on at first when you're trying to buy traffic from Yahoo, when you're trying to buy clicks?
The first thing is that they really enforce like relevancy quite a bit. I mean, even more so than Google. I mean, with Google, you may just get a lower quality score on a certain keyword if your click-through rate is not high enough, even if it's not totally relevant. Whereas Yahoo, they'll just totally like remove your keyword if they feel though it's not relevant. So, you know, so that's something that's a little different. And they don't have, like with Google, they have an offline system called AdWords Editor, where you can basically run your whole account offline, and then you can upload and download stuff directly to the interface. And Yahoo doesn't have anything like that. So if you have a lot of campaigns or have really big campaigns, sometimes it gets a little unwieldy. On the upside, Yahoo's customer service is way better than Google. You can actually pick up the phone. I mean, if you're doing any kind of volume, you're going to have an account manager. But you can pick up the phone. They have people, for the most part, that they're pretty helpful.
Great. So just to interject there, I'm using a service called Acquisio, A-C-Q-U-I-S-I-O, Acquisio.com, where you can actually take your Google campaign and then just copy it, and then it will upload it to Yahoo automatically.
Okay.
So it's quite easy. They maintain one interface, and then you can actually copy and paste your campaigns, and it will just upload all the campaigns from Yahoo or from Google and interchange them for you with the minimum amount of work. It's quite a cool piece of software, actually.
Wow, so that's
Acquisio, Acquisio, it's called.
Great.
So you could go to Google AdWords Editor, put in a few campaigns, upload them. Acquisio would then suck the campaigns from your AdWords account, and then you would copy and paste from within Acquisio into their Yahoo side of the Acquisio, and also Bing as well, I think. And then it will just push the campaigns out automatically.
Great. Wow, that's a good thing to know. And, Greg, from the point of view of being someone that lives and dies by bought traffic, purchased traffic, I just want to emphasize again and have you emphasize again how important it is to, you know, get out of your Google comfort zone and start looking at these other traffic sources. The sooner you do it and make the learning curve and take advantage of programs like Acquisio, the better, right?
Oh, just definitely, yeah. That sounds like a great tool. I've heard of stuff, you know, kind of similar, but as far as being able to actually download from AdWords Editor and put it in the Yahoo format, that's really powerful. And so really, you know, it makes your life a lot easier. And just taking your Google campaigns and putting them in Yahoo and Bing with kind of a, you know, minimal, effort, you know, that sounds pretty good.
And if you were to take all your AdWords traffic and compare it to your combined Yahoo and Bing traffic, what's the ratio that you're doing so right now? Is it 50-50?
Oh, no, you hear that, Yahoo, isn't it? It's like 4-1, something like that.
Like, oh, you mean as far as like
Yahoo to
double traffic from...
Yeah. Yeah, if you combine the alternatives together, Yahoo and Bing, and then compare that to the volume that you're getting from Google, I'm just wondering what your ratio is, what percentage you're getting from Google, what percentage you're getting from the alternatives in the pay-per-click arena. We'll just focus on pay-per-click right now.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah. I mean, really, I'm not doing a whole lot of Google these days at all because they, you know, again, the whole banning and stuff, and I'm kind of, you know, working on some smaller campaigns that they're allowing right now, so... I mean, really, the bulk of my PPC traffic by far is with Yahoo now. I mean, if I had to do a percentage, I'd probably say Google maybe, you know, only 10 to 20%, you know, if that. You know.
Wow. Now, so right now it's about Google's getting 10 to 20% of your ad buy. Before the big shakeup, at its peak, what would the ratio have been then?
Then it probably would have been more like 60 to 70% Google.
Okay. Even at the very peak of your Google buying, you were still getting 30 to 40% of your traffic from these alternative sources.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And how important would you say that alternative traffic was? Obviously, now it's super important. Going back to when you were at the peak of Google buying, how important were those alternative sources to your profitability?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, because especially, like I said, for the most part, Yahoo and MSN campaigns are more profitable than Google anyway. I mean, I definitely could get more, you know, traffic volume out of Google, but as far as profitability, it definitely helped, you know. And I just tell you a real quick story, I mean, because I've actually been through this quite a few times, and the first time was back in 2007, and like a lot of us were promoting like music download type of services and stuff, and so when the whole thing happened with Napster and the court case and stuff like that, Google just did a clean sweep and just banned like everybody that was doing that. So I know exactly what it feels like to, you know, I woke up in the morning and look at my Google stats and see all zeros, no impressions, no nothing. And, you know, and at the time, it wasn't like doing quite what I'm doing right now, but even at the time, I mean, we're doing like $4,000 or $5,000 a day. So that hurt a lot, but about 30% of the traffic was coming from MSN and Yahoo, so it wasn't a total loss. But that really jarred me, you know, into the realization that I really need to not be so dependent on Google, even though it's hard. I mean, sometimes it's hard not to be. But, you know, but then I got into other things. Like, at the time, I got into CPV. Then, you know, now I'm, you know, getting more into media buys and some of the other text ad services.
What are some of the other text ad services besides Yahoo and Bing that you like?
I like Pulse 360 and AdSonar. I mean, those are pretty much the ones, the only ones that I use. And I think that, you know, really it's kind of like, you know, media buys. It's just with the text ads. But I think it's kind of a good warm-up, you know, to actually, you know, doing media buys. But you essentially you get a text ad. It's the same type of ad that you know have with AdWords or any other pay per click, but you choose by placement, so you can actually have your ad on various websites, Fox News, on the Weather Channel. Those are some of the high profile ones. But you know, you can literally pick placements that you want, you know, put your ad in, and it's really a good way to advertise because it really forces you to get down to the demographics of your audience. And once you can figure out what those demographics are and what your audience looks like, then you can pick the placements that they would actually go to and frequent. And so it makes a nice message-to-market mix, and there's a lot of traffic. They have a lot of traffic.
And that demographic savvy becomes really important if you're going to get into just straight media buys and banner buys. So it's something, it's like a core skill that if you're going to, you know, go beyond the straight pay-per-click buying, you've really got to wrap your head around demographic research. Are there any tools? I mean, that one topic would probably be a whole call or even a day by itself. But are there any tools, major tools that you recommend that help advertisers get insight into what kind of viewer they're likely to get at a particular site?
Oh, quantcast.com.
Quantcast.
QuantCast. That's for sure. That was quantcast.com. That's a really good place for looking at the demographic of a particular site. There's a really cool little tip, actually, and that is if you put a site into Quantcast, they say in the bottom right-hand side, these are other sites that these visitors have also been to or you may be interested in who have the same demographics as the site you're looking at right now. So you can find other ways to find more placements using Quantcast.
great. And, of course, this used to be advertising. I mean, advertising was all about buying from many different media. And in order to do that well, you have to understand the character and the characteristics of the viewers and readers in each one of those media. Google kind of came along and radically simplified that, which you know, was brilliant. There's no question about it. But for some people that are relatively new to advertising and marketing and the Internet, you could easily get the impression that, gee, it's all about buying clicks. And clearly, you know, you want to take advantage of that. You want to take advantage of buying clicks. You absolutely want to take advantage of keyword knowledge. And we got one of the great keyword researchers and thinkers on the planet on the call with us, Mike Mendel, and that keyword stuff is essential. But don't neglect the old school demographic study of, gee, who reads, you know, Outdoorsman magazine, and can I sell my fishing poles and my whatever on that website? A lot of traffic out there to be had. Greg, do you have any favorite sites or techniques you use to get a quick profile of a particular site's demographics?
I actually use the same tool that Mike was talking about, Quantcast.com. If I'm looking at a particular site to advertise on, you know, I'll plug the site in or very, very close sites to it just to kind of get a feel for the type of people or the makeup of the audience.
It's not rocket science, right? I mean, once the demographic data is laid out in front of you, you know, it's pretty obvious whether it's going to be a match for your offer or not.
Yeah. I mean, some of them like, are really common sense to me. Like, obviously, you probably don't want to advertise a lady's face cream on ESPN.com. It's probably not going to do that well, you know. But some sites are kind of, you know, you do kind of have to check out the data. I'll give a quick example because I was looking at TMZ.com, which has like tons of traffic, and they have lots of different placements throughout TMZ, which is mostly like entertainment and, you know, people, the paparazzi and stuff like that. And so I went and looked up the demographics on it with Quantcast, and surprisingly, the majority of the audience. I mean, it was more men than women. I kind of automatically assumed that this was going to be, the audience was going to be mostly women, but it was actually majority men.
And actually, by contrast, I'm looking up acne.org at the moment, and that's majority is women. 70% of the audience is women.
So that's one quick way to break it down just by sex. You know, primarily a men. Site or a women's site.
I'll tell you what, Ken, actually. I totally forgot to mention another service, which is as good, if not better, than Quantcast, and that's Google Ad Planner. Google Ad Planner. And that also gives you a demographic breakdown of a site. And I'm looking at acne.org right now, and it gives you the site traffic estimated. It also gives that sites also visited panel I was telling you about. It gives you the keywords that people use to go to that site.
Ah.
And then, for audience characteristics, it gives you the gender, so male or female. And then it gives you the age. So acne.org, most of their visitors seem to be between 35 and 44. You'd expect it, actually, to be younger, but it's not. Second most common is 45 to 54. And the third most common is 25 to 34, which is quite surprising. Yeah. And then it gives you education, it gives you household income, and whether you have children in the household. Now, I'm not entirely sure how they come about this information, but if it's from Google, you can, you know, well, you can expect some truth.
that example illustrates a really important point. Since data is available on so many things, if you're going to spend money, why not take a minute or two to look at the data? Because it would be so easy to assume, oh, you know, that acne site's got to be all teenagers. And turns out it's anything but. And so that's going to make a big difference in how you compose your ads, which is, as Greg will tell you from his experience, that will make a massive difference in how those ads yield for you. Definitely if you're going to start, I believe everybody should. If you're making money from, pay-per AdWords, you should definitely start looking into making money from Yahoo and Bing's pay-per-click traffic. And once you've got that under your belt, the next logical step, according to Greg, and it makes perfect sense, is to go to these hybrid services, Pulse 360 and AdSonar, which is sort of, it sounds like it's kind of a mix between pay-per-click and traditional media buys, and not in the sense that you're buying clicks, but in the sense that your ads look like they are text ads.
Can I just clarify this point about the pay-per-view traffic? There's a launch going on right now, actually, Amish Shah's launch. I'll just take the example that he's given just to explain it very quickly. But with CPV traffic, you'd have someone like a gamer who goes to a site like GameAdvance.com. That's like a high-traffic to game download site, right? And the gamer would download some free game software so they could play these games, but in exchange for seeing about 4 ads a day, right? So the gamer goes to the site, downloads the software in exchange for, you know, seeing some ads. But what actually happens is when they visit various websites, an ad will actually pop up because the advertiser has been targeting those gamers who've downloaded the software, and they are therefore popping up pages that the advertiser is targeting for specific targeted websites and or keywords. So it's a bit different to, say, content network traffic, where a person goes to a website and sees AdSense on the page and they can choose to click on that or not. In this CPV or PPV type traffic, you know, people have actually downloaded software and agreed to see the ads. And there's millions of people who have done this. I mean, it's not anywhere near as big as the content network. It's still relatively quite small, but by small in comparison to Google, it's still quite big, if you see what I mean. We're talking about, like, millions of users still.
Wow. Now, Greg, you deal in cost-per-view CPV ads. Now, this sounds like a sort of a relatively new twist on that kind of ad. Do you have any experience with this thing that Mike's talking about?
Yeah, because actually the company behind GameAdvance is TrafficAdvance, and that's one of the, you know, advertising platforms that serves those ads. And it's actually, you know, a really good service. I would definitely recommend it. And really, you know, like I don't know if Mike ever thought this, but when I first started advertising there, I was automatically thinking, okay, these are gamers, so I need to advertise something that's, you know, really game-related. But, you know, it's not really the case. I mean, I've promoted, like, all kinds of stuff there, you know, because it's the whole demographic. You know, you just got to kind of fix on, you know, on that demographic. I've had a lot of success with CPV because that's actually kind of where I turned once I originally started having problems with Google. And there's the top companies that I've dealt with that I would recommend people to use would be TrafficAdvance is one, the same one that Mike was talking about, and also I like Direct CPV a lot. They have a lot of traffic and it converts pretty well. And also there's other company called Media Traffic. And they don't have like a ton of traffic and media traffic, but it does convert very well. You know, and the beauty of CPV is that it's so much easier to set up because there's no ads involved. You know, all you do is you pick your list, either keyword list or list of URLs that you want your ads served on. You know, and that's it. And you don't even need a landing page necessarily, you know, either. You can direct link to the offer, so.
Yeah, try direct linking in Google now and see what happens.
Right. So there's media traffic, there's direct TV, direct CPV, and then there's TrafficAdvance, V-A-N-C-E?
Yes.
And let's just step back a bit to define CPV and the varieties of CPV offers there are. So CPV is cost per view, and everybody's familiar with cost per click, and I think most people are familiar with cost per impression, which is how banner ads are sold. What is CPV? What actually are you paying for? How is it measured? And that kind of thing.
Yeah, you're actually paying for your website to be viewed, and it's normally that takes two different forms, either a pop-up, you know, where you actually have like a smaller window that, or not always smaller, but normally a smaller window that actually pops up on the screen, or you have a pop under where it loads the your whole page behind, you know, the page that they're currently on. So when they close their page, then they'll see your ad. But you're basically paying for a view, you know, of your whole page or most of your page, and it's normally priced. I mean, it's on a CPM basis. It typically goes between a half a penny, you know, to a penny and a half per view. You know, so it's pretty, you know, it's pretty economical. And if you, you know, have something that converts and you target it, you know, correctly, which is really, you know, easy to laser target CPV because you can, I mean, it's like, for example, like if you could put in, like say you have a dating offer and they probably won't like you doing this, but you can do it. But you can put in, say, like match.com/join And so then, like, when they go to that page and they're ready to join Match.com, you know, your dating pop-up could come. And, like, right then and there, like, right when they're about to join. And
wow.
It's a lot of slick things you can do. You could almost kind of, like, make your pop-up seem like it's part of the page that they're on and stuff like that.
There's another type of thing that people do where, let's say, you're doing insurance offers and you have a CPA thing that's about giving people free insurance for a month, and then they go to an insurance site where the offers are, you know, they cost, so there's money involved. And if you put your free offer over the top, your free insurance offer over the top of their website, they're more likely to go with your free offer because they want insurance.
Wow. Talk about, I mean, that's almost like being able to set up your own store at somebody's cash register.
Yeah, we could do it for your competitor's sites as well. You know, you could go to a competitor, and when they visit your competitor, you could put your page on there.
My God. Well, that's something worth looking into. And then, of course, there's that game variation on CPV, which Mike talked about.
Well, that was really, the Game Vance thing was really just an example of how you would end up seeing this kind of PPV pop up. You know, you would download a piece of software, and in so doing, you're agreeing. It's legal in the sense that you've agreed to download the software in exchange for seeing these ads, and then these ads will pop up when you go and visit various websites. So there's nothing illegal about this in the sense this isn't like adware that is pushed onto your machine without your knowledge. This is, you know, equal value exchange. You're saying, I want this piece of game software, and in return, I'm going to be happy looking at a few ads.
Gotcha, and that's a great deal for the consumer. He or she's free to ignore the ads, and they get this great game for free.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the old standby, the traditional banner ad buy. Craig, what's your experience with that?
I'm not going to pretend this is like an expertise of mine. It's something that I'm kind of just getting into, but so far, I think that probably the easiest way to get into it is to just make a deal with one particular site. So, again, you can use tools like Quantcast, and you can use tools like Alexa or the Google Ad Planner to find, you know, site that meets your demographic. And then, you know, it's kind of like a longer process, but you can just, you know, contact the sites you can go to. I mean, some of them, they have, like, an advertising section or, you know, your ad here, stuff like that. Some of them you have to, you know, email, and, you know, some of them they'll want to send you a rate sheet and stuff like that. But basically, I've had my best success so far with, you know, just individual sites. Like, some of the sites that I'm working with are really, really huge sites. Made deals with them, you know, and really gotten some good traffic. And the beauty of it, like, if you do, they have, like, a lot of banner networks as well, which I'm just starting to get into. But for the most part, with the banner networks, typically you have to, you know, have some money to put up, and he's talking anywhere between like $10,000 and $20,000, maybe, you know, some start maybe like as low as $5,000. But what I found, like, if you're talking to an individual site, you know, then a lot of times you can work out terms, so you can, you know, really basically buy traffic on credit, and then by the time, you know, you have to pay in 30 days, hopefully, you know, you will have gotten your profits back from your promotion, and then you can pay the bill and, you know, and keep the profits.
Google isn't going to give you 30-day terms. Google isn't going to give you 30 days to pay.
Yeah, Google cash on the barrel head. Do you know where the term cash on the barrel head came from? Just as we're off track for a second.
No.
Cash on the barrel?
Yeah, cash on the barrel head.
No, I've heard that before.
It's an American. It's an American term, and I think it came out of San Francisco, actually. And what it... This was before the days of mortgages, and in the old days, you'd give a builder half the money up front, and then you'd give him the other half on the barrel head when the house was ready to move into. And you'd literally, you know, he'd have a barrel of nails or something, and you'd lay down that cash on the barrel head, and you're in. So, yeah, So Google is in the business of cash on the barrel head, no credit.
Right.
In the old days, there used to be a very common thing, and I'm sure it's still going on the internet. I'm not in that realm of it, so I don't know. But buying test traffic and just being upfront with somebody and say, look, I've seen your site. I think it could work really well for me. But, you know, I'm a small business. I've got, you know, limited resources. Let's negotiate a rate for if this thing actually works for me. But let me buy 30 days at a test rate. Okay? You know, and you can make the case that, look, I may not be able to buy from you at all because, you know, I have to be careful with my resources, but I'm definitely willing to buy 30 days worth of traffic at a discount to the ultimate rate you're going to be charging me. And so that's another way of skinning this cat, and that is the most common thing in the world in print advertising. And there's no reason you couldn't port that over to internet advertising. And then, of course, there's all kinds of opportunity for negotiation after the fact. You know, you can say, well, you know, this did work. I'd like to buy some more, but, you know, it really doesn't work at the rate you quoted, but it would work perfectly for me at this rate, and I'm a buyer, you know, for 3 months or 6 months. That's another print technique. You've heard of Ted Nichols? It's been so long. Ted Nicholas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so he's the guy that had this brilliant business. It's really worth spending a second on because it was just a brilliant business. He would sell books on the virtues of incorporating, you know, the legal virtues and the tax virtues and all the virtues of corporations. But his back end was actually an incorporation service where, you know, you'd incorporate your company and then every year you'd pay an annual fee to have the corporation papers managed. And it's just a fantastic business. He sold it for a fortune and retired to Switzerland, you know, so 20 years ago now. But he was a master of buying ad space, and if you can ever get your hands on any of the courses that he used to give in the early 90s, that's when they would have first came out, he has whole sections on how he used to buy media directly from magazines. And here's the key. His name is Ted, I'm drawing a blank on the right way to say his last name, Nicholas, Ted Nicholas.
Oh, okay.
Ted Nicholas. And he was an absolute master at buying media. And now here's the really key point. His business worked because of his media buys. In other words, you know, his ads were great. He's legendary for being a great copywriter, and he sure was. And he's legendary for being a sharp businessman and a great business operator, and he sure was. But if you ask him, he'll tell you the business would not have worked had he not been able to get the media at the prices that he did. Right? It's really important. I mean, in other words, you know, to sum this up, everybody's got a rate card, and you should look at the rate card as, you know, a pipe dream on the part of the publisher. You know, they're dreaming that somebody's going to pay that rate. And you know, not to be, a bastard about it, but just be upfront. You know, you could be a buyer, but you can only afford to be a buyer at a certain price. So I don't know if it was Greg or it was Mike or somebody else just yesterday sent me an email about this very strategy where they're going directly to particular websites and buying run of the site or you know, paying monthly. They're getting away from the whole per impression thing and say, look, I'll give you $200 a month to run this banner here. And Mike and Greg will tell you, and I'll tell you from experience, there's a lot of websites out there with amazing traffic that just even in this late date have no clue how to monetize it, and a few hundred extra bucks a month is significant. And you may be getting a really good buy, and they're happy because they're getting revenue that they otherwise wouldn't be getting. Hey, look, we're coming up on the hour, but I think we've covered a lot of great grounds here with Greg Davis and Mike Bindell. Mike, you've
got one. Is there one tip I could just get now?
Oh, we do have time. Yeah, I just looking at the clock and realizing we have to start thinking about the end. But yeah, go ahead. We definitely have time.
Excellent. Well, there is a technique which I quite like, which is if you're trying to get placement traffic. What I tend to do is I go to Google and I'll put in my top 10 or 20 keyword phrases, and I will take down the URLs of the top 10 listings. So, you know, let's say it's weight loss. You put weight loss in, you take the top 10 sites. If you go through each of those sites, you can actually see whether there's any AdSense or any kind of banners above the fold, you know, above the fold on your screen. And then if you're using AdSense, like Google AdSense, if you're using the content network on Google, you can actually target those sites directly and put your ad there. But the same thing applies if you want to target the site that's got the banner on it and put your own banner there, but not necessarily going through Google. And what's good about this is that all the traffic that these sites are getting, because people have looked up weight loss and gone through the site, and then they've had the interest to click on a banner having already visited the site. So it's like a two-step process they've taken in order to get to your site. So we're talking about much more qualified and much more targeted traffic, right?
Wow.
And what's cool is there's software out there, and the three that spring to mind are placementlocator.com, ContentBully, and SiteSniper Pro. So that's Placement Locator, Content Bully, and Site Sniper Pro, that will actually go through with your keyword phrases and actually find those placements for you. So you can just put them straight into Google, or, well, let's say you put them straight into Google, you get some traffic, and if it goes well, then you can take the sites that do well and then approach them directly and then cut Google out of the equation. So that's a technique that I know works quite well. I've used it myself on occasion. So that's there you go.
Beautiful. Wow. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Mike, you've got, you know, WordTracker has a, it's a free educational service that's available to the public. Your articles and so on.
We do. Yeah, we do. We have the WordTracker Academy. If you go to wordtracker.com/academy, we have a whole series of articles on keyword research and SEO and pay-per-click. I urge people to look at an article I've just done recently. Actually, I will just get it up. It's called Finding Profitable Keywords, just got easier with WordTracker's new keywords tool, where I actually talk about how to actually get the right kind of keywords with the high search volume and the low level of competition using some new data that we got from a company called Majestic, which has indexed the entire web and has actually indexed and found over 1 trillion URLs on the web. And we use that information to find keywords with low competition, and that's now in the new WordTracker tool. But if you check out my article on that, you'll see some more information on that.
Great. So that date you've got that data is now public or available
to
your customers.
The first part of the data is public, where we actually look and we tell you for each keyword the number of times the keyword's been used in the title tag on the internet, and also in the incoming links, which is a very powerful indicator of real competition online. So this is like real new data, and it's only just come on board in the last couple of months. But if you want more details, check out the article first, and that explains it. It's at wordtracker.com/academy.
Great. You know, WordTracker in general, and Mike in particular, are an amazing source of information, as I'm sure this call has made crystal clear. And it's one of the great untapped the education wing is one of the great untapped resources on the internet. So I'm really glad to let people hear about that. And Greg, where would internet marketing be without WordTracker?
I don't know where mine would be. it's rough. Hey, speaking of that, I actually just wanted to say I'm not saying this because Mike's on the line. I'm out of it anyway. But you know, as people are trying to move their campaigns from Google to Yahoo and MSN. Because a lot of people just use Google Keyword Tool or tools that are based around it. I would seriously, go through and do some more keyword research and add keywords from WordTracker, because I find that WordTracker does a lot better job to find a keyword to get traffic on Yahoo and MSN, because it's really different. Like the way Yahoo looks at keywords, especially in a pay-per-click, it's kind of weird sometimes compared to Google. And I found that, you know, the WordTracker has a lot more of the Yahoo type keyword data that really works well, you know, with both Yahoo and MSN. So, you know, if you're going to move your campaigns over, you know, you might want to, use WordTracker, do some more keyword research, and add some more keywords specifically for Yahoo and MSN.
I was really surprised. Greg, you and I were talking about a month ago, and I said, well, what are the tools you use? And you know, For listeners, if you don't know, Greg buys a lot of traffic. I mean, he might buy as much as $30,000 in a day. So this is not a casual undertaking. And what was shocking was you only listed about 5 tools. It's not like you had 10,000 different things you were doing. And definitely the first one you mentioned was WordTracker. So, you know, this is a very well-known service, but if you haven't looked at it recently, take a look. And if you're new to internet marketing, it's got to be one of your first destinations. Well, great. Look, it's 2010. We're looking at a new decade, a new world, and I think that one of the major changes, and I wrote about this recently in my article on this subject, is internet marketers coming to grips with Google's dominance. And, you know, just to bring this full circle, A, it's it's great that Google exists, and Google does wonderful things, and it's, you know, work with them by all means, but there's a vast universe of other opportunities and services out there, and I would put this on the to-do list for every serious internet marketer. We kind of laid out a path here. You know, first, at a minimum, diversify your pay-per-click traffic to Yahoo and Bing. Start looking into services like the text ad services like Pulse 360 and AdSonar, and then start looking into CPV, cost per view ads. And bottom line, start tapping into all the other traffic out there. And just to go back to that original number, good place to end the call, Greg, the percentage of buys you're getting from Google versus the percentage of buys you're getting from the whole rest of the internet universe?
Yeah, it's about 10% right now.
Okay, but even at a peak, it was never more than not just pay per click, but
I mean, at a peak, it's probably more like 6 or 7%. But now, I mean, I've seen a writing on the wall for a long time, so I've been trying to, you know, shift my spend, you know, onto other ad sources and traffic sources, and you know, thank goodness, you know, I have. So.
Real quick,
because I know a lot of people are going to want to know this. Despite all the stuff we're talking, you know, people have successful stuff going on Google, and a lot of people probably want to know how to get another Google account after the lifetime ban, because I've been banned like several times, so I've been through this a lot. But,
you experiment on the far reaches of possibilities.
Well, if you don't mind, I'll just give a couple of tips so that people, you know, can at least, you know, have the ability to get their, you know, not to get their account back, but to get a new account.
Great. I think that would be valuable information.
The main thing that you got to realize is that, you know, you have to become a totally, like, new person, totally new account. So you can't use any of the same websites, any of the same hosting accounts. And if for your domains, you have to use a different name or put them on private. The best way to do it is to use a virtual private server, which was basically like its own little private computer, your own private IP address, so, you know, so Google can't trace you with an IP address or cookies. And you can get really cheap VPSs at this place called vpsland.com. And it's really cheap, but all you do is it allows you to, you can use a remote desktop and you remote into this computer. Then it's just like you're using your own computer. And then you can start a new account. And the key thing is your billing information. You have to have like a different credit card, different name. So you either have to, you know, get some kind of, you know, just get another debit card or credit card, something. And once you do that, you know, that's pretty much it. Like, as long as you appear, you know, to Google to be like a totally different person, totally new person, then you should be able to open up a new account and get rolling again.
So if you know, the worst happens and, you know, you did something and, you know, Google really didn't like it and they have banned you for life, you're not necessarily without options.
Oh, exactly. No.
And, which is good. I mean, it's, No one likes to be excommunicated. But the ultimate penalty, you know, you're out of heaven forever. Well, great, Greg Davis, Mike Dindell. This is a lot of fun. I want to say to you know, anybody that's a pro in this business probably really got a lot from this call. Beginners may feel a little bewildered. Don't worry, that the purpose is not to learn everything all in 1 hour. You can't. It's an unfolding process. And if you listen to Mike, he's learning things on this call. Greg's learning things on this call. I'm learning things on this call. This is really a learning business, and that's just what it's about. And so take what you can from it and implement. That's the most important thing, because this is not a theoretical business at all. It can sound theoretical, but it's a very practical nuts and bolts business. And if you have a feeling for this business, I encourage you to keep at it, because, you know, when you get things to work, it's definitely fun. And one of the big funs is the kind of people you meet along the way. Like Greg and like Mike, and there's a lot of good guys out there to share information with. So if you're, you know, struggling with it, but you feel like you can make it, keep at it. Believe me, a lot of people have figured this business out, who may not even be as smart as you. But it is a practical business, getting things done. Hey, Greg, I'll see you in Chicago in April. Mike, I don't know if people are allowed to fly from London to America anymore without going through X-ray machines, but if we can lure you to Chicago in April to visit with us, we'd love that too. And best wishes to everybody for the new year. This is Ken McCarthy of the Systems Seminar saying goodbye and good luck.